get any sleep last night, Bill?
Oh, it was a short night, Glenn.
Yeah, I can imagine. No question about it. Can we start at the end and ask you for your explanation as to what you're coming off the field? Obviously, you were questioning the outcome of or their call on the field goal. What happened there?
Well, as I said, I wasn't really questioning the call. I was just looking for an explanation as to whether the play was going to be reviewed or not.
And he didn't say anything to you. Obviously, you were trying to get his attention. You couldn't get his attention.
Right.
As you look at the way that whole operation was handled, are you comfortable with how it played out? Obviously, you wanted to win the game. I'm saying in terms of what should have happened in that situation. Are you comfortable with how things happened?
What are you talking about?
Well, in terms of did they do the right? Did they make the right call? Could that play have been reviewed? Because there's some information out there. Mike Pereira says they couldn't have reviewed it anyway because it went over the top, and you can't review it in that situation.
Yes, that's correct. Right. I wasn't sure whether the ball was over the top of the upright when it crossed the crossbar or not. I couldn't see that. That was my question. And if it wasn't, then it could have been reviewed.
Usually, has anybody contacted you in terms of after the game making contact with an official? Do you think you'll be fined or penalized for that?
Yeah, you'd have to talk to the league about that.
Usually, do you get an explanation on a play like that at the end of a game? I know you were talking earlier about the situation you had with an official one time with Greer. Usually, when something like that happens, do you get communication with the official to explain why he did certain things?
I mean, I'd say overall that the officials are pretty good about explaining things. Sometimes it's not as timely as maybe what you'd like it to be because they have to get the information from the other side of the field or another guy who made the call or something like that. But I would say normally I haven't been involved in a lot of those type of plays, but normally they try to eventually explain to you what happened once they can get it from one of the other officials or the timer or whatever it is.
Watching a game with the regular referees, there's always seems to be some conversation between coaches and referees. Is there communication now between this group of replacement refs and coaches enough to make the coaches happy in the league right now?
Oh, I can't speak for any of the coaches, but I would say that the format's the same.
You know, the NFLPA came out with a statement yesterday calling for the regular officials to come back. I understand. I mean, that's their union head, you know, said what he had to say on behalf of the players. I was wondering for coaches, if you need to say something about the officials, what normally happens? I mean, behind the scenes, do you go to the owner and say something? Do you go to is there a liaison for coaches in the league office where you can vent and not have any kind of repercussions for saying what you truly feel about how a game was officiated?
Yeah, well, there's a procedure in place where you can send in any plays that you have questions about, and they'll review the plays and then get back to you with an explanation of what the call was and where the mechanics of the play, whatever it happens to be. So sure, you can do that.
Have you done that this year with these guys? And is it more than normal?
Well, it's with the league office. You don't talk to a specific official.
No, I'm saying about. I worded it incorrectly. About these guys, have you done it? And are there more plays? Because just from us, the reason I'm asking is they look like they're overmatched and overwhelmed. I know you're not going to say that, but that's where I'm going with the question. Do you feel like it is?
Right. Well, from our standpoint, from a team standpoint, the procedure is the same as it's always been. If you have a question on a play, then you ask that question, and then they get back to you with the answer of how the play, what the rule is and how the play should have been officiated. Either this was the correct call or this wasn't the correct call, and this is what should have been called or this is what should have happened or whatever it happens to be. So when you send those plays into the league office, then they get back to you with an explanation of what happened on the play. And it could be one play, it could be 20 plays, it could be, there's no set number. It's, you know, if you have a question, you try to just, you can get it answered. They'll answer it.
How are you dealing with this? How do you prepare for this, what we think is a temporary situation? I mean, you spend a lot of hours here.
We try to spend as much time as we can doing our job and getting ready to do what we have to do, the things that we can't control, the weather, the other things. We don't worry about those. I mean, we worry about what we can do.
What happens during the week, though, when you're preparing, as one player told us here today, to play a certain way in a game, and then the conditions do change because of the way these guys are calling or not understanding of the rules, or in many cases right now, Bill, the slowing down of the operation. I've never seen anything where you're looking for the spotting of a ball, whether it's a first down, and it took 6 minutes to actually do it, which clearly gives the other side an opportunity to decide whether they're going to challenge, whether they have to challenge, or whether you have to challenge. To me, it just seems like it slows down the process, and it takes you away from the rhythm and timing of a normal game.
Yeah, well, again, and those are all things that we don't have any control over. We just can run our plays and we get a chance to run them, or defend them, we get a chance to defend them, and do the best that we can do. We can't handle the other part of it, and that's, I think, a part of the game. Some games are called more tightly than others in all sports. We all know that. So whatever it is, that's part of the in-game adjustments. You have to adjust to the way that the game's being handled. And that's just game management.
I suppose a player is playing a game the way he thinks it's being handled, and then it changes in the second quarter. The third quarter, the same play that was called in the second quarter now reverts and is being called the way the first quarter. In other words, the inconsistency out there, how frustrating does that make it for your players to do what you worked on all week long for that game plan?
Well, I think that if you talk to, in all our meetings that we've always had with the NFL officials, the thing that is always stressed is, two things that are always stressed are communication and consistency. And everybody wants consistency and everybody wants communication just to understand what's going on. Or sometimes to alert the officials for a trick play that you have or a different formation or things like that so they can be aware of it. And they communicate with you as things progress during the game. And consistency is what we're all striving for. So is it perfect? Has it ever been perfect? Will it ever be perfect? No, but that's the goal.
I know most coaches and even some players have a, whether it's formal or informal, book on referees and crews. Is that part of the issue with these guys, that there's no real book, tendencies, likes or dislikes that these guys have that you can discern? I know oftentimes some coaches will say, look, these guys are prone to holding on the inside or on the outside. These guys are more likely to call the pass interference or whatever. Is that part of the issue that there's no real book on any of these guys right now?
Well, I mean, I don't think from my standpoint that's ever really been a big part of it. You know that some crews call the game a little closer than others, but in the end, the rules are the rules, and you coach the players to play the techniques and the game within the rules. And as we said, if some games are called tighter or looser than others, whatever it happens to be, then you try to adjust your playing style accordingly.
You feel like that consistency and that communication was there enough for you to figure out what kind of game it was going to be last night? Was it there throughout?
I'm not quite following
you. Well, you said you want consistency and communication from the officials. Did you get it last night? Enough where you could operate, okay, this is how business is being done here. I know what to expect. I may not like it, but I pretty much know where to go.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to comment on the officiating one way or the other. That's not my job. I'm just here to try to coach the team and do a better job of that. And whatever the league thinks about the officiating or those their grades or their calls or whatever, that's handled through the league to the officials, not through the coaches. We just try to understand the rules, play by them, and manage the game from a coaching standpoint, make the decisions that we make as coaches, and the players do the same thing. They play the game as they're taught to play it and do what they think's best out there on the field.
I'll say this. The one thing that is consistent right now is this frustration on the sidelines with virtually every coach in the league. which is pretty amazing to me, because you could cite maybe one guy doesn't like it or another, but it seems that's the one thing seems to be extremely consistent here. All right, let's move on to the game. Big plays again, given up yesterday. I think 9 plays with 20 yards. You constantly talk about big plays during the game and making those big plays. Giving up those big plays, how much of a problem was that?
Well, you never want to give them up, and we gave up more than we want to, no question about it. We got to do a better job of creating those plays on our side of the ball and defending them on the other side of the ball. So that wasn't the ideal ratio that we're looking for.
Is some of that individual play, or is it a group failure, or is it just the secondary, just the line, just the linebackers? Is there any one thing you can point to that precipitated some of the big plays last night?
I'd say it's really probably a combination of things. It wasn't all one play, one player, one defense, but it was a combination of things. So we need to coach better. We need to call the game. Some of the calls could be better. Some of the coaching could be better. Some of the playing could be better. Some of the techniques that we play with could be better. So I think we all just have to do a better job and make sure that we're doing a better job, period. And some of the coverages and disguises and things like that lead the quarterback to making decisions that are less favorable to us than if we could make it a little tougher on them to know exactly what we're in. So, I mean, all that's part of it. You know, a guy could be 20, 30 yards away from the play, but he could really affect the play by triggering the quarterback to go there by not disguising a coverage or, you know, that type of thing. Not saying that's the full reason for the play, but, you know, we could do things collectively a little better. And again, some of that's coaching, some of it's assignment, some of it's technique, it's a combination of things.
Is some of it experience?
Sure, experience, communication, playing together, absolutely. I mean, I think all those things are part of it, and hopefully those things will improve and get better. We'll work on them.
You brought in a couple of guys here lately. One we know very well, Deion Branch. The other one is Kellen Winslow. What was the thinking of bringing both of those guys in and having them active for yesterday's game?
Well, we felt like we needed a little bit more depth in the passing game. And so I think both those players have had good history and production in that, either here or in Kellen's case throughout the league. So
after you made the stop, fourth and short, you get the ball back. Obviously, you want to run the clock out. You'd like to score, but you want to be able to move the ball down the field. Baltimore started really coming at you, especially Webb off the edge. Why was that so successful with Baltimore? Why were they able to put so much pressure on Brady there?
Well, they had done that the whole game. That wasn't anything new at that particular point in the game. They mixed that in throughout the game. He probably came 7 or 8 times, sporadically, not consistently, but just something that we had to be alert for. So, the bottom line is we just didn't really handle, just didn't handle those situations as well as we could have. We could have, like you said, controlled the ball better on offense, run off more time, done a better job on that. We could have played better defense. We could have, made a play in the kicking game. So we just didn't do enough of any of those things in the last 5-6 minutes of the game, and that's what we need to do.
You know, Vince was in here saying that, there were multiple opportunities to walk away with a victory. I think we all saw that. If you had to just say what frustrates you more, is it that, you know, the game was, 9-point lead with 7.5 minutes late to go halfway through the fourth quarter, looked like a victory was in hand, or was it just the way the game was managed from an officiating standpoint? I mean, what kept you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock?
No, I think just collectively we just all have to do a better job. Coaches, players, everything, all 3 units, running game, passing game. There's plenty of room for improvement all the way around. And in a close game like that, or a close game the week before against Arizona, it wouldn't have taken much. It would just have taken a little bit better than what we did. And a couple plays away from being 3-0 instead of 1-2. So That's what we gotta. That's what we gotta do.
Coach, you've mentioned that before about coaching better, and I think I might have an idea what you're talking about. What specifically would you mean in terms of coaching better in a situation like this?
Well, just making sure that everybody has a better, more thorough understanding of what we want to try to do, what we're trying to defend, how to defend it, how to play it, what situational football, what things to be alert for, and to emphasize those more and teach them better, so the players are more proactive instead of reactive to them. Things like that, you know, maybe change some of our calls or techniques and things that would, based on something that we've had trouble with, to do it a little differently so that we don't have those repeat again, and, you know, see if they can hurt us somewhere else rather than an area that we've already been, you know, hurt in.
Is there still room for, at this level, for some of the fundamentals of coaching, just some of the basic football plays? Is there still...
Sure, it always comes down to basics. It always comes down to footwork, hand placement, leverage, technique. I think every play has multiple opportunities of that, and when it's done well, those lead to successful plays, and the X's and O's take you so far, but they don't take you past the fundamentals. You have to be fundamentally sound to execute a play, and no matter how you X and O it, if it's not done fundamentally well, it probably is, chances of being very good aren't good, or very often aren't very good.
Sure, this doesn't make you feel better, but it was a bizarre day all around in the NFL yesterday. Some incredible finishes. And we were talking about one of them before you came in, the Detroit-Tennessee game in overtime. Jim Schwartz, who you work with in Cleveland, goes for it on fourth and inches. Didn't make it, but a pretty gutsy call. Can you think of a situation where, I mean, is there a call like that you've made in your career where you say that is definitely the most controversial, you know, toughest call I've ever made? Because, I mean, I just can't imagine. You can tie it up easily with the field goal, and he decided to go for the win.
Well, it's probably a little bit different, but I would say the Indianapolis game was a fourth and one and a half call.
I would say that's a good example. Yeah. Right there.
That's going for the win.
You guys talked about that one.
A few days.
A little bit. We talked about
a
few days.
Just a little bit.
For a year.
Not much.
So. That's right.
Yeah. I would say that that qualifies.
He actually got it, though.
Did get it.
The fourth and two.
Yeah.
Those officials again.
We broke it down. We did it. We did the whole math of it, and we broke it down with scientific and all sorts of, you know, mathematical equations. We broke it down.
But it's probably not going through your head, and I'm not asking you to speak for Schwartz or anybody else, but it's probably not going through your head at the time, oh, this is a controversial call. If we don't get this, this is going to be, you just say, this is the right thing for our team.
Well, I think you know when you make that call that the game's on the line, but, I mean, the game's on the line, really, with any call in that situation. And if you give the ball up and they get it, then they have possession of the ball, and then you come back, and if that doesn't work out, think, well, it's fourth and a half a yard or inches or whatever it is, I don't even know, and you say, well, if we can't make a couple inches, then do we really deserve to win the game anyway? So should I, you know, if it doesn't work out, you always second guess yourself. I think that's just the nature of the beast. If it does work out, then feel somewhat comfortable, although sometimes it works out and you still feel like you, maybe it wasn't the right decision, but it worked out, so okay. But sometimes you look back on it and say, well, maybe I would have done it differently. But anytime it doesn't work out, you always think about whether you should do it differently. But you got to take the information that you have at that time and make a decision. So there's not, you don't have two or three of them. You just have that one.
Would you have done it differently?
What's that?
Fourth and two.
In the Indianapolis game?
Yeah.
I thought that was our best chance to win.
You've told us this numerous times. There are no unwritten rules in football. And a lot of people are quite upset that Greg Schiano continues to try to have his troops, if the game is within an opportunity for them to win, you take a victory kneel, and he's going to send his guys after that quarterback to try to get that ball free. Is that fair game?
it's a 60-minute game. I'll just say this: what we always tell our players is that we should expect our opponents to play their best football and play hard for 60 minutes. So when we step on the field, we expect our opponents to play hard for 60 minutes, regardless of the score or situation.
And there's no...
It's not baseball.
There's no nod and a wink to the idea that, okay, let's keep each other healthy and not, the game's over and let's take a knee. And there's no, understanding,
well,
I guess.
Well, he's done it when the game still has been in doubt. It's been six or seven points, right?
Well, I mean, if the... Yeah. I mean, Steve, we've had that in since the Giants. I mean, if the quarterback fumbles the snap, then...
Yeah, I know.
That's your chance to get the ball. I mean, are you going to say, okay, let's... If they fumble it, we don't care. We're gonna concede the game. I mean, at what point do you concede the game? A minute, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 15 seconds?
Right.
I don't know. You tell me. When is it okay to keep playing and not to keep playing?
When you can't possibly win. When you absolutely can't possibly win. There's no mathematical way.
You're down by 3 touchdowns and they're kneeling on the ball. I mean, that's one thing. But I don't know. Again, all I can do is I just instruct our players to play hard for 60 minutes. And I think in a situation like that, it's, to me, no different than a field goal team protecting the field goal kicker when the quarterback takes a knee, that the offensive line and the other two guys that are up there with the offensive line, it's kind of their job to protect the quarterback. I mean, I don't see in field goal protection where you see the line get knocked back very often, six, 7 yards back into the kicker. So, if the quarterback takes the ball and steps back and the line blocks, then I don't know. I don't think he should get hit. I mean, he really shouldn't if you do it right.
It'll just turn the play into a more aggressive kneel down. That's all. The offensive line will have to fire up.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah.